Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Mr. Gracious, Mr. Humble, at your service. We got some good stuff lined up for you straight ahead with our good friend David Dossie. David's a patent attorney. I actually like the intellectual property attorney thing. Patent attorney, as I said earlier, that's kind of a 20th century name. Although he probably doesn't mind that. Especially if it says to David Dossie, patent attorney, on the check that you write him, he probably doesn't mind that at all. But I prefer intellectual property attorney. He's a partner in Gallagher and Dossie, intellectual property attorneys, and he's our good friend. David, welcome back to the show.
Morning, Jim. Always glad to be here.
It's good to have you back. And by the way, I want to point out that David is my intellectual property attorney. He's the guy that I go to help me protect my intellectual property, because that's what we do around here. We make that stuff. And so, David, there's a big case in the news right now that's very instructive, isn't it? The Research in Motion case. Most people won't know what RIM stands for, Research in Motion, but they do know what BlackBerries are, even if they don't have a BlackBerry, don't they?
Absolutely. This case really has brought the term patent infringement to the masses, because before it was just a thought that there were lawsuits out there, but it never had a direct effect on the end users.
And they probably didn't, I mean, a lot of people, if you've never had it, if it never was part of your life, you know, you didn't really understand the process and or the principles behind it, and it probably seemed like some kind of legal, stuff that the average person doesn't have to deal with, but that's really not the case, is it?
Exactly.
Now, this is a case where a Canadian company, Research in Motion, invented this BlackBerry, which is really a PDA, isn't it? I mean, it's a phone. I have one. Now, I don't have a CrackBerry. I'm not addicted to it, but it is a very valuable tool for me, David. It's got a phone in it. I can get email, I can surf the web, and I can, and it's got my contact information in it. Now, there are other things that you can do with this thing, but those are the main things that I use it for. And it's very handy for me when I'm on the road to be able to get email in the same one. And, for example, let's say that I get an email from you, David, and I open the email. The BlackBerry will give me the option, since you're already in my contact information, from your email, I can either respond to your email, or it'll allow me to go over to your other information and call you.
Mm-hmm.
And also IM. You can IM people. You can instant message people from the BlackBerry. Very versatile, very productive tool. But one company in the United States, you can tell us who it is, alleges that that RIM, Research in Motion, is infringing on their email property, right?
Right. There's a company called New Technology Products, or people refer to it as NTP, that was founded by an inventor who, back in the 80s, was very into pagers and communicating from pagers. And his patent attorney, they founded this company, and he invented several and was issued patents on basically wireless communications for email systems.
Mm-hmm.
And now patents issued, BlackBerries were introduced in late 90s. In 2001, they brought suit against RIM for infringement on 8 patents.
Now, do you know whether Research in Motion knew that these patents existed, and they just disregarded them, or what do you know?
Well, actually, in the early days of the lawsuit, the court did order found them guilty of infringement, ordered them to pay $23 million, and then set up a separate hearing on whether it was willful infringement or not. In other words, did they know about these patents and kind of ignored them? And it looks like they did know about the patents.
Mm-hmm. So they did know about them, but what did they think? Did they think they could just blow over them and disregard them and get away with it?
Well, a common theme is with larger successful companies is, if these patents are owned by an individual or a very small company that isn't producing anything, they don't perceive that as a real risk.
Mm-hmm.
That trend is changing because now there's a term out there called patent trolls that it's becoming more and more popular for people to start up companies that don't produce anything but just buy intellectual property for the purposes of enforcing it against large companies.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. I want to know about that more about that when we come back. And I know of a case very similar to this where a little bitty company has been harmed by larger companies, and they're not doing anything about it so far. You might have some information for them. We'll talk about this some more with David Dossie right after these messages. 20 till. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for checking it out and for subscribing to our newsletter, for subscribing to our blog, or just going and wandering around on our site, noodling around on it, and taking advantage of all the free stuff that will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful in your small business. David Dossie is one of those guys who helps us do that. He's our intellectual property attorney, literally my intellectual property attorney, and ours as well. The Brain Trust, one of our top IP guys in the Brain Trust, and we're talking about this BlackBerry case, where Research in Motion, the manufacturers of BlackBerry, apparently have infringed upon a U.S. company's patents, 8 of them, right, David?
Well, it started with 8, and now they've whittled it down to really one patent is in question.
Right.
And through all the legal maneuvering, all of the patents are being reexamined by the Patent and Trademark Office, but ultimately the judge in the federal court is not going to wait until that process is done to wrap this case up.
Basically, the court process has not gone in favor of Research in Motion. It's gone against them mostly, hasn't it?
For the most part, you're correct.
So now they're down to one patent, and is there a settlement on the table?
Well, they actually had settled this case back in March of 2005, put out big press releases that they had settled it for $450 million.
Yeah.
And by June of 2005, the settlement had fallen apart.
How come?
Well, apparently, it's one of those things where they did a handshake deal on a 2-page document, and then when it turned into a 20-page settlement agreement, no one could agree on all the findings.
When the attorneys got involved.
Exactly.
Darn those attorneys, David. What are we going to do about those guys?
I know.
but those probably weren't IP attorneys, though, right?
Right, exactly.
Those are probably litigators, I bet.
Okay.
Now, the U.S. government got involved in this a little bit recently, didn't they? Because the government uses lots of BlackBerries.
Oh, this is one of the first cases where the patent case where the government actually filed a brief essentially just emphasizing to the court, reminding the federal court, as if they would forget this, that the government cannot be enjoined from using a patented invention. And they went as far as to say, you need to make Research in Motion create a list of all the government users so that they've got a list that they know if an injunction's granted that you've got to keep these people active.
Have you ever heard of such a thing in your life?
Oh, no.
This is unprecedented, isn't it?
It truly
folks,
is.
Folks, let me see if I can put this in true layman's terms where even I can understand it. The government is suing, the government is hearing this case allegedly to protect the patent owner, if that's the case, but certainly to give a fair hearing in court. And yet another division of the government is telling the court system of the government, we don't care what you find, we don't care what your findings are, this is such a critical device and capability for the government that we expect you to make sure that we still have the capability.
And frankly,
did I say that right, David?
Yeah. It all centers around an injunction, whether a court's going to tell BlackBerry to stop you know, their service because of this infringement.
See, this is like Coca-Cola suing Pepsi for infringing on their taste, and the government saying, wait a minute, you know, we like this taste over here. You can take it away from everybody else, but we want to keep that taste.
Yeah,
we like Pepsi's new taste that tastes like Coca-Cola.
That's a good analogy.
I mean, I know that's, you sound silly, folks, but it's just, even though the problem is serious, the government's point there was just as silly as what I just said, in my opinion. Even though I'm a BlackBerry user, I don't want to lose my email capability.
Now, Research in Motion has, in many of their briefs, they've made some pretty strong arguments about a so-called exceptional public interest, that a lot of hospitals are, you know, all communications in the hospital are dependent on BlackBerry use.
Then they need to write a check.
Right.
As much as I don't want to lose my capability, I'm a producer of intellectual property, David.
Right.
You know, I want my stuff protected, and I sure don't want some kind of a precedent started. I mean, you know, David, in my opinion, the intellectual property that I create is critical to the existence of mankind, right?
Sure.
I mean, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Absolutely.
So I don't want people to be able to take my stuff and then sue me and me not be able to sue for damages.
Right. And the case has finally gotten to the point that when an injunction seems looming, the clients of BlackBerry are starting to put a little pressure on them, saying, hey, settle this case. This is getting too risky.
What's it going to cost them now?
Well, they've estimated damages to be around $250 million, so that $450 million settlement amount was probably in the ballpark.
Yeah. Well, you know, it looks, you got to believe they're going to settle this thing. I mean, that's a lot of money for any company, but they've made a lot of money off this. RIM has.
Well, Research in Motion they've made the point about not granting an injunction because they do have over $1 billion of cash on hand. So they basically have said, okay, any award that you put against us, we can pay it. You know, so it's not an issue of that we can't pay it, and therefore you need to force us to stop.
So basically, what they're saying is we've already decided what kind of people they are. Now we're just haggling over the price.
Essentially.
Yeah. So when do you think this will get resolved?
Well, on February 24th, they're going to have another hearing on the injunction issue.
But the bottom line is, if you have a BlackBerry, you're probably going to be okay.
I think so.
You're going to be able to keep using the stuff. That's the main thing. When we come back, I want to talk about that case I mentioned a minute ago, and I remembered which one it was. Remember the interview with Spanx, the lady who invented the pantyhose without feet? That's the case I want to talk to David about when we come back. Stay with us.
You know the first time.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend David Dossie, one of the top intellectual property attorneys in our brain trust and my intellectual property attorney. And if it makes you comfortable, David, you don't mind if he call you patent attorney, do you?
No, not at all.
As long as they spell your name right on the check, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Give us your website, please, because I want people to know how to go and see what a 21st century intellectual property attorney website looks like.
Sure. It's www.invention-protection.com.
All right. Check that out when you get a chance, folks. And David, you and I have been working together for a while, but we've never met.
That's right.
So you can do that kind of business with folks all over the country, and I encourage folks to find out. You know, David, I know that if somebody's on the other side of the country, and they'd like to do business with somebody, you know, nearer them, you'll help them find him, won't you?
Oh, absolutely. We'll always refer you to a local attorney.
Well, you have that ability. You have the ability to hunt somebody down near them. So he's a good guy, folks. If you use him to your advantage. Okay, David. About a week or two ago, I had a young lady on the show who is the inventor of Spanx, and I wish I could say her name. I just don't have it on the tip of my tongue. But Spanx, I found out, didn't know this, and I was kind of glad that I didn't know this, actually, David. Spanx is pantyhose without feet. Women wear these things, and she says, I asked her if men wore them, and she said, well, she said that some men do, but not regular guys. Anyway, so she said that Spanx are what ladies wear when they want to wear sandals. Like when they wear pants, they put these Spanx on, and it does for women what pantyhose does for them, which I found out, you know, is a lot more than meets the eye, a lot more than I thought they did for them. But apparently, Spanx actually reduces the size, their size, their dress size or their pant size. It allows them to go from one size to a lower size. And I never could get her to tell me where all of that goes, but when they put the Spanx on. But anyway, she said that she had this idea for these things, went to all of the manufacturers to try to get them to, you know, to believe her idea. None of them did. She finally decided, like the little red hen, to do it on her own, got somebody to manufacture them, started getting a little success, and some of the people she had called on started ripping her off. They, you know, they infringed on her patent, basically. And she told them, and I said, why didn't you go after them? She says, well, my attorney said that I could have, but that those people had a lot deeper pockets than I did, and it would be, instead of me having a fighting chance, I might just have a chance to fight. Now, sure. What do you think about that, David?
Well, people question us all the time that if they think someone's infringing their patent, they assume that the government steps in to work this out, and that's not the case. Once you have a patent, it doesn't do anything for you unless you have the commitment to enforce it, and it's your obligation to enforce it. And unfortunately, enforcing a patent is a very expensive business. Fortunately, I guess a more recent trend is attorneys taking patent infringement cases on a contingent fee basis, where they don't get paid unless they recover some money for you. That's very risky from the attorney's perspective, just because so many things can go wrong in a patent infringement case. Whereas if someone came into you and their thumb was cut off at work, you know, it's a lot different case.
Right.
But it's becoming more and more popular, and the case that we've been talking about, the RPT versus RAM, NTT, actually, their attorneys have publicly announced that they're working on a contingent fee basis.
Right.
So of that, if they had settled it for $450 million, their attorneys would have, you know, come out with over $100 million.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is your recommendation? I've got about 30 seconds. Do you recommend that if you're not big enough to defend your patent, you shouldn't get a patent, that you should try to use trade secrets?
Well, trade secrets are limited in that if you produce a product that someone can look at, take apart, and figure out how it works, then trade secrets are absolutely no
good. You have no protection then, huh?
Right. If it's a production assembly in your controlled manufacturing plant, trade secrets have a lot of value. But if it's a product, they have virtually no value.
If it's going to be out in the public where anybody can buy it and figure it out, you got no protection, then they go get the patent.
Exactly. Well,
yeah. But this protection thing, that's a whole other thing. If you're going to get a patent, folks, you might want to be, you need to come up with some kind of a strategy to protect that patent. Would you agree, Dave?
Right.
Yeah.
And there's insurance now, Dave, to help with that.
That's a good topic for our next visit. Hey, thanks, David, for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim.
David Dawsey, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be back on the other side of the news. Whatever you do, don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.